the reason that you had to care. The traffic is stuck and you're not moving anywhere. You thought you found a friend to take you out of this place. Someone you could lend a hand in return for grace. It's a beautiful.
Good morning and welcome to the Health Matters Radio Show. You're listening to show number 88 if you're listening on catch up. I hope you're well, I hope you had a great weekend, and I hope you're all looking forward to the week ahead. My name is Neil De Silva, and on today's show we have some really interesting content to cover. In a moment I'm going to be covering the topic of processed foods, why we should avoid them and why they are particularly dangerous to the body. And then towards the end of the show, I'm also going to be talking about diet drinks. Those of you that take lots of diet drinks because you think they're healthier, then the sugar drinks might be in for a bit of a surprise. And in the middle, we have our guest interview of the morning. And today we have Suzette from She and Me. Good morning, Suzette.
Hello.
I'm really looking forward to having a chat with you and finding out more about what you do and how your products help people. So really looking forward to that.
Amazing.
And we'll come back to talking with Suzette in about 20 minutes or so. So a quick disclaimer before we start the show proper. The purpose of the Health Matters Radio Show is to provide you with competent information on the subject matters that we cover, and to help educate and inform you in ways that you could improve your own health. But this is on the understanding that I'm not engaged in providing medical advice, and the content of the show should not be treated as a substitute for such. If you have any concerns about your general health, or you require medical or other expert assistance, please speak to a suitably qualified healthcare professional, which in many cases can be obtained by dialing 111 or speaking with your local pharmacist. All the content is provided for general information only, and I encourage you to do your own research. And the show is based on my knowledge, my research, my experience, and often my opinion. And as such, I disclaim any liability that is incurred from the use of or application of the content of the show. Okay, so processed foods. Well, processed foods are pretty pandemic in supermarkets these days. If you actually think about it, when you go around the big supermarkets and you actually look at the, what I would call, whole food aisles, there aren't that many of them. Maybe one, maybe two, maybe three aisles out of maybe 15, 20. So processed foods are part of certainly the Western diet now. And processed foods are actually causing us a lot of health issues. So we're going to talk about the difference between real food and processed food. And we're going to talk about some of the ways that processed food can be damaging to the body, and some of the things that you can look out for. So when we talk about processed, okay, we need to clarify what we mean by processed food, because actually most foods that we eat have been processed in some way. So apples are cut from trees. That's a process. Ground beef has been made from meat in a machine. That is a process. And butter is cream that's been separated from the milk and it's been churned. So that's been processed as well. But there is a big difference between mechanical processing and chemical processing. And it's the chemical processing that we're going to talk about today. So if you've got a single ingredient food with no other ingredients, no added chemicals, it doesn't really matter if it comes in a packet or in a jar or in some package. Actually, if it's a single ingredient food, it's still real food. But foods that have been chemically processed and made from or added refined ingredients have been added to it, or artificial substances, then generally that's what we call processed food. And one of the problems with processed food is it tends to be high in sugar. It's been estimated around 80% of the food that we buy in supermarkets has some form of sugar added to it. And at the last count, I think there were 63 or 64 different names for sugar. So food companies have got very smart, and they will often leave off the word sugar, but they will put some other type of sugar in it under a different name. It might be maltose or lactose, or, you know, there are so many different types. One of the most dangerous ones is high fructose corn syrup. It's really, really damaging to the body. It's often shortened to HFCS, so something to look out for on food labels. And as we know, these sorts of sugars, or any sorts of sugars, when they're consumed on a regular basis and to excess, are actually quite damaging to the body. Now, sugar itself is empty calories. You know, we've been told that a lot in the media. There's no nutrients in sugar, but there is a huge amount of energy. And that energy can make us lay down body fat, particularly belly fat, particularly fat around the organs, which can be incredibly dangerous. But actually, our weight is only the tip of the iceberg. Sugar can have a devastating effect on our metabolism that goes way beyond its calorie content. So excess sugar consumption can lead to things like insulin resistance, which leads on to type 2 diabetes, high triglycerides, high cholesterol. And it can lead, as I say, to fat around the liver and particularly fat around the abdominal cavity. So that visceral fat is really damaging to our body. And actually, sugar consumption has also been associated with some of the world's leading killers, including things like type 2 diabetes, but also cancer, obesity and heart disease as well. Now, a lot of people are cutting down the amount of sugar they put in their hot drinks, their teas, their coffees. And also, if they're having cereal, people are consciously cutting out the sugar that they would normally put on top of their, for example, cornflakes. But they're still consuming processed foods, and they're still consuming some of that 80%, where actually it's not about the sugar that we add to our food or our drinks. It's about the sugar that's already in it by, you know, it's put in there by food companies because it acts as a preservative, it gives bland food taste, and also it is extremely addictive, which takes us on to the next point about foods being engineered for overconsumption. Now, we all want to eat proper food, and actually human evolution has given us taste buds, which are supposed to help us navigate the natural food environment. It's supposed to help us to seek out the whole natural foods that are good for us. And our natural inclination is to actually gravitate towards foods that are sweet, they're salty, they're quite fatty, because that gives us energy and nutrients that we need for survival. Now, when we talk about sweet, I'm not talking about chocolate, for example, I'm talking about fruit. So it gives us nutrients. They are good for us. Now, food companies know that if they want people to buy their products, it's got to taste good. And three of the most addictive things to or foodstuffs that are addictive to humans are sweet things, salty things, and fatty things. And a lot of processed food, it's not put together by chance. It's actually been engineered to make us want more of it, to make it taste good, to trigger the reward centers of the brain, you know, the dopamine release, which makes us want more and more of it. And in our body, we have these very complicated mechanisms that are supposed to regulate energy balance, so how much we eat and how much we burn. And that is designed to help us to stay healthy and keep us at a healthy weight. But these processed foods with the high reward factor can bypass our innate defense mechanisms and can actually make us start eating more food than we really need to. And this thing is called the food reward hypothesis of obesity. So the truth is that processed foods are so rewarding to us and to our brains that they can affect our thoughts, our behaviours, they can become addictive, and they can make us eat more than we need to, which obviously then can have an impact on our health. Now, good food is good, but food that's been engineered to be rewarding and, as I say, stimulate dopamine production is not particularly good for our health in the short term, the medium term, and the long term as well. Processed foods also contain a lot of artificial ingredients. If you actually look at the food labels, you'll actually see that a lot of the ingredients added to processed foods aren't actually foods. They're actually chemicals of some description. So an example, and I won't name it by by brand, but there are some so-called healthy, low-carb bars out there, cereal bars and protein bars and energy bars that purport to be healthy. And when you look at the ingredients, they're actually full of rubbish. They're full of chemicals. So you need to learn how to read food labels. Because for highly processed foods, will often have things like preservatives in them, colorants, flavors, and texturants as well. And these aren't natural foods. They're far from being natural. And actually, some processed foods have artificial flavors. We'll just cover that for a second. Because actually, an artificial flavor, if you see artificial flavor on an ingredients list, it's actually a proprietary blend. Okay, manufacturers do not have to disclose exactly what goes into their so-called artificial flavor. And it's usually a combination of chemicals. So if you see artificial flavors on the ingredients list, it could mean that there are anything between 10 and 12 additional chemicals that are blended to give that food a specific flavor, and in many cases make it moreish. So it makes you want to eat more of it and go back and buy more. Now, a lot of these chemicals, companies will say, have been passed as being safe for human consumption. But then a lot of the regulatory authorities still think that sugar and vegetable oils are safe as well. So just because the so-called authorities say that these chemicals are safe doesn't mean that that is the case. And we covered addiction. Junk food is actually quite addictive. We mentioned about this hyper-reward nature of processed food. And people literally can become addicted to these foods. They can lose control over their consumption, and they can make it can make them want more and more of it. And that is the way that it's engineered. And incidentally, as an aside, if you really are interested in the way foods are engineered, have a look into how processed cheese was made and how it was engineered to make people want more of it. It's quite an interesting story. Now, when people become addicted to these foods, they eat more of it. They take in more calories. They've had their brain biochemistry hijacked by these intense dopamine releases that occurs when they eat these foods. And actually, dopamine is incredibly addictive. So sugar and high reward junk foods activate the same parts of the brain as illegal drugs, particularly heroin. So sugar is addictive, if not more addictive than heroin. So that is actually quite scary. Processed foods can be high in refined carbohydrates. Okay, so when we talk about carbohydrates, people say, oh, carbs are bad. I'm going to go on a low-carb, zero-carb diet. And actually, that can be quite damaging to your health because carbohydrates fall into different categories. And the carbs that we get from vegetables and we get from fruit, for example, are very different to the carbs that we get from soft drinks or from chocolate bars and things like that. So if you're going to have carbohydrates, make sure they come from whole foods rather than refined carbohydrates, because it's the refined, sugary, simple carbohydrates that are actually quite damaging to the body and often cause rapid spikes in blood sugar and therefore insulin levels. And it can put us on this blood sugar roller coaster where we have these carb cravings and then blood sugar drops and we want more carbs, and we just go on this complete cycle of carb high and carb low. And those carb highs are not caused by the sorts of carbs that come in fruit and vegetables. They are caused by refined sugary carbohydrates. And don't be fooled by food labels that purport to use whole grains, because again, they probably did use whole grains in their ingredients, but they're often been pulverized into a very fine flour. And therefore, if you take a whole grain and you pulverize it, it becomes as damaging as their refined counterparts. So if you're going to eat carbohydrates, make sure they come from whole, single-ingredient foods. We mentioned about sugar being low in nutrients. Well, processed foods generally are lower in nutrients than the whole foods that they come from. They also have lots of synthetic vitamins and minerals added to them. And they're not always bioavailable. They're a great selling point. If you see fortified with vitamin C or fortified with iron, it sounds good. It's a great marketing ploy. But actually, they've been fortified because in the process of processing, those nutrients have been taken out or they've been lost. So they need to add them back in to make them look healthier than they really are. And actually, when we look at these vitamins and minerals, if they are synthetic, they can, I would argue, be quite damaging to the body. So again, real food, you can't beat real food. We eat food like nature has intended us to. And lots of processed foods can be low in fiber as well. And fiber is really, really important, okay? Especially soluble, fermentable fiber. It's good for your digestive system. It's good for your gut bacteria. And processed foods generally will have less fiber in them than unprocessed fruits, vegetables, oats, bran, those sorts of things. And the good thing about fiber is it can slow down the absorption of carbohydrates, which then helps us to regulate blood sugar, which then makes us more satisfied. We don't go on these sugar highs and sugar lows, which generally means that we eat less as well. And one of the great things about fiber, particularly soluble fiber, is it helps to treat constipation. And chronic constipation is a serious problem, particularly for people on a Western diet. And just to wrap this piece up, processed foods are often high in trans fats. When we spoke about fats earlier, now there are different types of fats. So the healthy fats are monounsaturated, polyunsaturated, and then the less healthy fats are saturated and trans and hydrogenated. And lots of processed foods will have trans and hydrogenated fats in them because actually they're really, really cheap and they help to keep the food stable on the shelf, and it gives it a higher shelf life. The problem with these fats, particularly hydrogenated fats, particularly high amounts of omega-6 fatty acids, is they can drive oxidation in the body and they can cause inflammation. And they've also been linked to heart disease as well. So something to think about, you know, read your food labels, try and avoid processed foods, and where you possibly can, try to eat whole natural foods because they are much better for your body and your body knows what to do with them. So after the break, we are going to go on to our guest interview with Suzette. But to take us there, we have a classic from the 80s and it's Luther Vandross. You're listening to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva. A quick reminder of the show's social media feeds on Twitter. It's at Health Radio Show. On Facebook, search the Health Matters Radio Show and you can follow and like the show's Facebook page. You'll be able to listen again to this show and all the previous shows on the media page of my website, which is www.i-nutrition.co.uk. And also, I have a podcast on iTunes. So if you want to subscribe to the iTunes podcast, go to iTunes, in the search bar, type in the Health Matters Radio Show, and you can subscribe to the podcast. Okay, so on to, on to our guest interview of today. Excuse me a second. We have Suzette from Shea Me. Good morning, Suzette. It's great to have you on the show.
Oh, thank you for having me.
And it's really, you can't obviously see it, but Suzette has a great T-shirt on today promoting the Shea Me brand. And Suzette, perhaps you'd like to tell us what it says.
On the front of my T-shirt says Shea Me is a vegan. And just like Suzette, Shea Me is also a vegan. And on the back, it says Shea Me is a vegan, so what? So it answers the question to a lot of people. Are you really vegan?
Yeah, so it starts that conversation.
Yes.
And I hasten to add, she's got a white T-shirt on and Shea Me is vegan is in bright pink.
Not
so
green.
So you definitely can't miss it. So Suzette, we're going to talk about how you help people and how your products help people and how they were developed in a moment. But before we talk about the products and what they do, and perhaps you'd like to give listeners a bit of background as to what you were doing before you're doing what you're doing now.
I'll try and put it in a very small container because it's quite a lot.
Okay.
So I started off as a social scientist. And then I went off to retrain as a teacher because I believe in educating the future generations. But probably some of you guests might have probably similar experience of there's a light bulb that switch and says, I want to do something else. So I went off to train as a social worker.
Okay. And so how old were you at this point?
Old enough to make decisions.
Okay. Over 18.
Over 18. Yes, I could buy alcohol then. But then I realised the experience that I had didn't fit the experience in my head.
Okay.
So I went back into teaching and I thoroughly enjoyed what I did then. Because I worked in a very unusual situation where a lot of people do not realise that teaching does go on inside prisons. Mm-hmm. You can actually do a PhD in prison.
Okay.
So you can do anything that you want to do. However, it is limited to your sentence.
Right.
Okay. So you can do different types of education in prison.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go inside prison without anything, can't read and write, and leave a doctor.
Wow.
So that's where I used to work.
Mm-hmm.
So it was absolutely amazing. I did enjoy it.
Okay. So, and what happened after that? So how long were you working in the prison system for?
I did about 15 years. I did a lifetime.
Wow, that is a long time.
Yes, that's what you get, yeah. Normally life.
Yeah.
So I did a life.
Okay.
Really enjoyed it. But then things change and then you have to move on to different pastures. And that's how probably Shea Me was born. But before then, it was while working in prisons, you do not have access to skincare regular.
Yeah.
You're back and forth, iron doors, grills, keys. So you need something to keep your hand hydrated all day. I couldn't find anything that would really suit my skin and that stays on all day.
Yeah.
So there Shea Me becomes an idea. And then was fully formed by time I left my lifetime of working in prisons.
Okay, so your journey to what you do now was born from necessity.
Yes,
because there's lots of products on the market, skincare products, and they are of varying quality, shall we say?
Yes,
you know, just being very diplomatic, you know, some. I'd argue are not particularly good for your skin.
Oh, based on my experience, yes, and probably a few customers, water dries the skin out, mm-hmm, alcohol dries the skin out, and there's buffing agent. We do not know what H12 is. C2045, that one ingredient could be made up of a million and one ingredients, mm-hmm, just as how you were talking about food, processed foods, yeah, earlier,
yeah,
on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You don't know what it is.
Yeah.
I wanted something that I know what's inside there, what are the benefits,
yep,
for my body. Because whatever you put on the outside goes on the inside.
And that's absolutely right. We were talking before the show started and were saying that, you know, one of the biggest influences of your health is what you consume, what you eat and what you drink. But actually, as you quite rightly said, your skin is your biggest organ. It's, yes, not some passive, you know, whatever you put on your skin is, yeah, going to be absorbed into your skin.
True.
And then it's going to be absorbed into your body. Mm-hmm. So if you put chemicals, in the same way as if you eat chemical-based food, it's going to have an effect on your health.
Definitely.
If you put chemical-based skincare onto your skin and it's absorbed into your bloodstream, it's the same as if you were consuming chemicals. And people don't perhaps appreciate that as much as they should do.
I don't think so. But you know what? Commercialization and accessibility. Quite a few people probably do not have the access to buy quality skincare products, mm-hmm, and quality foods.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they have to buy what is available within their means.
Yeah.
But there comes a time when you need to think about me, you. What am I eating? What am I putting on my skin? Mm. I need to look after me.
Absolutely right. And it is so important that, you know, if you want to look after your skin, that you get the best quality products possible and you don't rely on these cheap chemical-based products.
Yes.
So you were working in the prison system. Obviously, your skin was taking a toll. Mm-hmm. You'd looked at different skincare products and they hadn't really hit the spot for you. Mm-hmm. They weren't doing what you wanted them to do. Mm-hmm. So at what point did you think, actually, I would just make my own?
It was trial and error. Previously, okay, I used to mix different oils. Mm-hmm. So I used to mix castor oil and olive oils together, different oils, see what benefit they are to my skin. So it has been a trial and error journey. And then a friend of mine called Boat bought me a pound of shea butter. Mm-hmm. And I got really excited about it. So I made up different things for my sister and I. And she loved it. And then another friend came along, loved it. And eventually I've been making for quite a few friends and families. Mm-hmm. Eventually when I left employment, I went and I did further research and developed the product, got a recipe, got it licensed, trademarked, labeled, and there becomes Shimi a full member of my family.
Wow. It's a really interesting story because obviously, you know, your product came out of necessity, mm-hmm, but it was beyond that for you because you then thought, actually, I want to take this beyond just my own personal use, mm-hmm, and, you know, share it, literally try to share it with the world. And we'll talk about your quest for global domination in a moment.
Yes, one continent at a time.
Absolutely. At what point did you think, actually, this could be bigger than just friends and family?
I think the feedback that I have been getting from different customers and wanting to be in charge of me.
Yeah.
I want to be in charge of my future because I call it working to pay the bills. I want to work towards maintaining the so-called perfect mental health. Mm-hmm. I do not have to sit in 2.5-hour traffic to get back home from work. I do not want to deal with managers that they think and feel that you are beneath them. So I want to be in control of what I said, when I said it, mm-hmm, and how I say it. Mm-hmm. So it was much easier for me to sort of think that this is what I'm going to do because I've been getting positive feedbacks. I've done all the research and the hard work.
Yeah.
So I said, right, I'm going to become a market trader.
Yeah.
So I just fall into the role gradually.
Okay. So where did you first start to sell your products?
I started at my first pop-up was at the Pentagon in Chatham.
Okay.
Then I did a couple of Sundays there.
Mm-hmm.
It was an eye-opener. It was experience.
What was the feedback like?
It was positive,
mm-hmm.
but it wasn't, Chatham wasn't my market.
Yeah, yeah.
Then I went to Dartford Shopping Centre, I think it's called
the Orchard. The Orchards, yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good experience. I met quite a few customers who I still have,
yep.
and made to order for them also. And then I met a complete stranger. We started to talk and they told me about Covent Garden. And I applied and it took a few months and a few harassment.
That's quite a big step up from Chatham to Dartford to then Covent Garden.
I know.
As I say, go big or go home.
It does work sometimes.
I'm impressed.
And I harassed the market manager a few times. I even pop up at the office without an appointment.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually I got a spot there. And Covent Garden have brought me many success. I've met quite a few store managers, buyers. I now trade across the world. I've been introduced to many people.
Mm-hmm.
So it has opened many doors and opportunities for us at Chez Me.
Mm-hmm. Phenomenal. And you can see how it's gone from what I would call almost a kitchen table business,
yes.
for your own personal use. To,
literally a kitchen table.
So that growth to, you know, getting into these other countries and also Covent Garden, how long did that take?
It is still a journey.
Okay.
We are still on that journey. We started making from the kitchen.
Yeah.
Now we have a purpose-built unit, which was funded through the Chamber of Commerce,
mm-hmm.
and the French government, I must say. Thank you to all of the people who supported me.
Wow.
So we do have our own production facilities,
yeah.
where we make all our products.
So what's just to touch on that point, what's the connection specifically with France? Is it a big thing for them out there, this?
No, I think it was by chance or by luck or somebody was smiling at me.
Okay.
I went to a trade meeting there,
right.
and I had a conversation with a few people and somebody pulled open a door for me and I walked through it and I got some funding to get some machinery.
Wow. There you go. And like you say, you know, as has been said, if you don't ask, you don't get. And you know, sometimes you have to be very forward and believe in yourself and believe in your product. And clearly there is a market for what you do and other people believe in what you do as well.
Yes, yes. It's about your passion,
yeah.
and how you promote what you believe in.
Yep.
It's hard work. It's very hard work.
Yes.
Because for those who are wanting to start a business, I must say there is financial poverty if you do not have support and backing. I still do supply teaching to enable
just
me
to supplement your income.
Yes, yeah, yeah, you have to have something there because it's hard work and lots of people demand a lot from small independent suppliers.
Mm. So let's talk a little bit now about the product. So perhaps we've obviously mentioned that the products came out of necessity.
Mm-hmm.
You came up with your own formula. So tell us a bit about what they are, what they do, how they help people and why they're so good.
With Chez Me, we have a natural skincare products. It has plant-based ingredients. It is not diluted down. Only 6 ingredients. And all the 6 ingredients have benefits to the skin. All of them, you can eat separately, the ingredients. We can use castor oil. We can drink, not eat.
We can
eat shea butter in our cooking or in our baking. We can use tea tree oil as a mouthwash to make up disinfectant, deodorants.
Mm. Tea tree, yeah.
All of your ingredients have benefits to the skin. However, together, it becomes antifungal, antibacterial. It has vitamins A, E, and F, omega 6 and 9,
mm-hmm.
sun factor 6 naturally.
Yep.
So it's one product that has all of that. You can use that one product as a facial moisturizer,
mm-hmm.
as an aftershave, as a lip balm, for the cuticles, for the entire body, for cracked tails, for normal skin. We have many customers that use it for eczema and psoriasis. It stops the skin from drying up without being oily or greasy.
Mm-hmm.
That means you don't itch yourself constantly and reinfect and sort of reactivate your illness.
And because you're using natural ingredients, mm-hmm. And please correct me if I'm wrong, but I would guess that if you're using a skincare product that has chemicals in it, you're more likely to react to it. Whereas with your products, because they are natural ingredients, the chances of having some sort of skin reaction are, I'm not going to say it would never happen, but they are greatly reduced.
It is greatly reduced. Yeah. However, some people can react to natural stuff.
Absolutely.
But it is greatly reduced. And you know exactly what you're putting on your skin.
Yeah. And also going back to my point about, you know, the skin is an external barrier that protects us, mm-hmm. but it is also absorbent as well.
Yes.
So whatever you're putting on your skin,
mm-hmm.
if you're putting on natural ingredients, then it will be absorbed through the skin
mm-hmm.
And into your body. So why would you want to put chemicals on your skin to be absorbed into your body? You want to put natural things on your skin.
That is so true. But then again, commercialization and pretty things.
Mm.
Because if your skincare is labeled eye candy,
yep.
very pretty, you're drawn to that and you're going to buy it
and marketing.
And use it without even thinking about it.
Yeah.
I normally say to a lot of my customers, can you read what's on your label?
Yeah.
Do you know what they mean? And some of them say, I've never looked at it. So it's about educating people also on think about what you eat.
Mm.
Why not think about what you put on your skin?
Yeah.
So a lot of customers start coming to me now and ask me to create. So they have their own recipe that they follow and I create that for them. Others will stand by the recipe that I have licensed. So our products are tested. We are trademark vegan,
mm-hmm.
cruelty-free, and we are Cosmos Organic. Cosmos Organic means that we are 98% organic.
Yeah.
So there is no man-made chemicals or stuff that you really do not want to use in our products.
Mm. Fantastic. So you mentioned about you've had customers that have said that it's helped with their psoriasis and their eczema.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any other examples of people that have had skin issues and actually the products really help them?
I've got a few customers that use it for different reasons.
Okay. We won't mention them by name. But
no.
I mean, are there other common conditions that it can help with?
Dry skin.
Yeah.
A personal story. I started going through menopause recently,
mm-hmm.
and my feet was the first thing to go. Very dry and cracked.
Yeah.
And it is the only thing that is helping me. And I've got loads of customer who comes back to say that it does help my dry feet.
Mm-hmm.
It does help my dry patches on my skin. Because for some strange reason, menopause does take a toll on our bodies.
It does some weird things, doesn't it, to the body?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So, Suzette, what are your plans for the coming year? Obviously, we're fairly early in 2020 at the minute, but tell me a bit about your quest for global domination.
Trying to get a few more sayers and decision makers to listen to us. However, the plan is on going to Italy,
mm-hmm.
Netherlands, and hopefully Sweden again this year.
Mm-hmm.
So one country at a time I'm trying to dominate.
Yeah.
Also, hopefully be much more, getting more acclaimed in Ireland. We have started with a distribution company there, so the product is available there in a few health food shops. However, we want to widen our distribution range there. So mm-hmm. we are working on that.
Fantastic. So it could be a global brand at some point in the not too distant future.
I'm working very hard on that.
Fantastic. So just to summarize, who are you looking for to make contact with you?
I am looking for, we currently have a generation called demand generation,
mm-hmm.
and they are demanding change.
Yep.
to our environment, what they use, what they eat, what they drink, and how they do it. So I am subscribing to that generation who wants to see natural stuff being put in their food and also inside their skincare product. And that range probably goes between probably 25 and up to probably 45, 65. However, that range is widening now because information is more accessible. So loads of people, the minute they can read and understand, I do not want that, this is what I want.
Mm.
So that's the demand generation that I'm going for. It doesn't matter who you are.
So these people that want to stay away from artificial things, from chemical products.
Yes, correct.
And want to go back to natural products.
Definitely.
Because they realise it's better for their health.
Yes.
Brilliant. So if people want to get hold of you, what's your preferred method of contact?
I am available probably everywhere you can find me.
Okay.
I am on email at suzette@shamey.com, and that's SHEAME.com.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also on Twitter as Suzette_Shea.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on Instagram at Shea1Me and on Facebook at Shea.MeBodyButter.
So people can make contact with you via social media or via your website.
You can also go by the website at www.shamey.com.
Yep.
You can contact us there, leave a message, or you can purchase there also.
Super. And what I'll do for you as well is when I do the post promotion for today's show, I will pop your website address on there as well. So people can click through from Facebook so they can go directly to your website.
Actually, I forgot to mention this to you, that I've bought some sample products to give away to you customers.
Okay.
So I do not know how you want to do it. It's already packed, so they have to sort of...
Okay.
You probably will run a competition for
that. We will have a chat during the imminent music break, and we'll agree on how to do that, and then we'll mention it after the music. So it's been really interesting. Thank you so much for coming on the show today, Suzette.
Thank you for having me.
And I really wish you the very best with your quest to get your brand around the world. And it just goes to show that from small things, you know, literally a kitchen table business, if you've got the right mindset, the drive, and obviously the right product as well, it can take you to great places. So I wish you all the very best.
Oh, thank you very much for having me.
After the break, we are going to go on and talk about diet drinks. But to take us there, we have a great song from Radiohead.
What the hell am I doing here? whatever you want. You're so very special. I wish I was special, but I'm a creep. I'm a widow. What the hell am I doing here? I don't belong here. I don't belong here.
Creep by Radiohead, one of my favourite songs. You're listening to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva. A quick reminder of the show's social media feeds. On Twitter, it's at Health Radio Show. On Facebook, search the Health Matters Radio Show. And you'll be able to listen again to this show and all previous shows on the media page of my website, which is www.i-nutrition.co.uk, or on iTunes podcast, search the Health Matters Radio Show. Suzette and I have been talking over the break. And we have Suzette's brought with her these three products. And what we're going to do is when I do the post promotion for today's show, which I'll do a bit later on today, the first three people to share my post on the radio show page, which is the Health Matters Radio Show, the first three people to share the post, I will give their details to Suzette, and Suzette will send out the products to you. Is that good, Suzette?
Yes, perfect.
Excellent. So we'll do that. So the first three people to share from the radio show page, not any other social media page, the radio show page, will get those three products. Okay, so for the next 5 minutes, I just want to talk about diet drinks. Okay, I'm going to pull no punches here. A lot of this is through my own research and my own opinion, and some of it might be a little bit controversial. But I'm going to be fairly cutting when it comes to drinks that are artificially sweetened, because there's a lot of miseducation out there, arguably by some of the companies that are selling the stuff to you as well, and there's a lot of false ideas. So diet drinks, okay, so these are zero calorie, sugar free, artificially sweetened drinks. These can be as bad or even worse for you than their sugary counterparts. That's not to mean the sugary counterparts are good for you, because they're not, but the diet drinks are marketed as being healthier, and in my opinion, they are not. They keep us fat, they keep us sick. The food industry, in my opinion, is combined with bad government policy, and a lot of the food companies lobby governments to put these products out on the market, to get them on side. And in my opinion, this has become a major cause of our obesity crisis, particularly in the Western world, and the diabetes epidemic. And it was mentioned today that there are another 2 million people at risk of type 2 diabetes. We're told we're making better choices if we go for these diet drinks. We are told that weight loss is about moderation and controlling calories. And of course, if it was that easy, we'd all be doing it. You know, exercising more, that's kind of the rhetoric that we hear. But diet drinks are promoted across the board, and they can help you to gain weight. They can contribute to type 2 diabetes. They can contribute to heart disease, and they can contribute to stroke risk as well. And the problem is that these soft drinks, these fizzy drinks that are sugar-free, I'm not going to mention brands by name, but they increase the risk of type 2 diabetes, even more so than sugar. And we'll come on to the reasons why in a second. There was an interesting research in Sweden of 2,800 adults, and it found that those who consumed at least 200 milliliter servings of artificially sweetened soft drinks were 2.5 times more likely to get and develop type 2 diabetes. And those people that drank a liter of these drinks saw a tenfold increase in the risk of developing type 2. There was a study in Israel that showed artificial sweeteners altered the collection of our gut bacteria, which is known as the microbiome, in the digestive tract in a way that caused blood sugar levels to rise higher than expected. and to fall more slowly than they otherwise would. So these artificially sweetened drinks with these chemicals, and there was a theme on today's show about artificial products and the dangers of chemicals. But these artificial chemicals change our gut bacteria. Now, our gut bacteria is really important for our health, okay? We have about 10 trillion human cells and about 100 trillion bacterial cells. And if we don't look after our bacteria, it has a big impact on our health. We have a very symbiotic relationship. We look after them and they look after us. And one of the things with sugars, artificial sweeteners as well, is they mimic sugar. So as soon as that sweetness hits your tongue, your body sets into process, before it's even hit your stomach, your body sets into process what it thinks is going to be a dose of sugar. So you have an insulin reaction, and the whole process of sugar management happens even if there's no sugar in the drink that you are about to drink. And there's some really scary facts about artificially sweetened drinks or diet drinks that you really do need to take on board if you drink a lot of them. So as we mentioned, diet drinks raise the risk of type 2 diabetes. Women who drink one 330ml can a day have a 33% increase risk of type 2 diabetes. And like I said, if you drink a half a litre or more, the risk increases exponentially. Artificial sweeteners can be addictive. So the problem is that people, because they think they're healthy, will drink more of them because they're addictive and there's no calories and there's no sugar. So people go, oh, it must be healthy for you. They really are not healthy. Okay, you will end up generally drinking more diet drinks than if you were to drink the sugary counterparts, which, as I've already mentioned, are not good for you anyway. The average diet drinker drinks around 3 diet drinks a day. And actually, artificial sweeteners increase, as I say, the risk of diabetes independent of body weight. So these chemicals are not doing us any good. They contribute to obesity, to metabolic syndrome, to diabetes as well. And they're actually invented to stop those very conditions. And it seems to be that they are now contributing to the very conditions that they were designed to prevent. And artificial sweeteners are actually, or they can be, hundreds to thousands of times sweeter than regular sugar. And that activates our preference for sweet things. It can trick your metabolism into thinking sugar is on its way, which then leads your body to dumping out huge amounts of insulin, which is the fat storage hormone, which contributes to laying down belly fat and visceral fat. It can confuse and slow your metabolism down. It can make you hungry and crave sugar. When you don't get sugar, when your body thinks it's getting sugar from a diet drink, it will make you crave sugar and starchy carbohydrates like chocolate, bread, pasta, those sorts of things. And actually, in animal studies, in rats, they found that rats that ate more artificial sweeteners had a slower metabolism than rats that didn't, and they put on 14% more body fat in just 2 weeks. And as I've already mentioned, I'll say it again, the risk of obesity, the risk of type 2 diabetes increases exponentially when you consume diet drinks. So please do your own research. They're really not as healthy as you might think they are. There is no free ride. Okay, they increase the cravings, they increase weight gain, and they can make you very sick. Okay, so please do your own research. But diet drinks, like I said, they pull no punches. I'm really against them. They're really bad for people's health, but they're marketed as being healthy, which is just wrong. So that's the end of the show. Thank you for listening. I hope you found the information really useful. As I mentioned, you can contact me via my website, i-nutrition.co.uk. And I'd like to thank Suzette once more for coming on the show.
It's a pleasure.
It's been great to have you on the show. After the last song, we have the Channel Radio News and Weather. But if you'd like to come on the show, as Suzette has done today, please make contact with me and we'll see about getting you on a future show to chat about what you do. So stay happy, stay healthy, and I will catch you again next week.
Is a blue shoots up through the stony ground. There's no room, no space to rent in this.